Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your compassion toward us. Thank you for your protection upon us. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for fighting our battles and for making us victorious. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for destroying the works of darkness that were formed against us. Thank you, Lord, for honoring your name in our lives. Thank you for glorifying your name in our lives. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your presence and power that is working great things in our lives and situations. Thank you for helping us to draw closer to you, to know you more than before, to know your ways and to know your will. Thank you for making us stronger than our weaknesses. Thank you, Lord, for subduing Satan and his hosts under our feet. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for creating within us a new heart. An heart that loves you and fears you and obeys your word. Thank you for creating such heart within us. Thank you, Father. We also thank you for opening our eyes to see the revelations that are in your word. Thank you for making us wiser than the people of the world and than our enemies. Thank you, Father. We are here in your presence this evening, this night, to seek your face, to lean at your feet, and to search your scriptures. I ask, O Lord, that you minister to every one of us here tonight, in Jesus' name. Let your word sink deep into our hearts. Let your word revive us. Let your word ask that you transform us through your word, through the power in your word. Help us to learn new things tonight. And as we learn those things, help us to apply them in our lives. In Jesus' name. Help us to apply everything you will teach us tonight in our daily lifestyle, in our daily activities. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching on persecution, especially the subtopic that says, why persecutors attack Christians. So we're going to look at more points under that subtopic. Another point. Another point is for refusing to compromise faith. For refusing to compromise faith. And we can look at two more points if we have the time. But right now we'll be looking at for refusing to compromise faith. Persecutors attack Christians because Christians refuse to compromise faith. Yeah, because Christians refuse to compromise faith. They refuse to turn against their faith. Yeah, so we're going to look at some scriptures that support that. Open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel 3, verse 14 to 20. Daniel chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 14 to verse 20. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16. Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Yeah. Many of you are familiar with this story in the Bible. Yeah, I know many of you are familiar with the story I have just read. Yeah, the story of the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. You can see in that passage I have just read that they refused to worship the gods of the king of the gods of Babylon. And the king of Babylon as at that time was Nebuchadnezzar. So they refused to worship the image he set up. Actually, before that time, there had been a lot of gods that the Babylonians worshipped. A lot of gods. A lot of idols. But the king decided to create his own idol. More like he was going to add a new idol to the ones the people already have been worshipping. So he was going to add his own idol. So I don't know, maybe the statue was molded in his image. I don't know. Yeah, but the Bible told us that it was Nebuchadnezzar who made the idol for himself. So the idol was connected with him. So it's more like making himself an idol. Something like that. Yeah. If you read if you read verse 1 of that Daniel chapter 3, if you read verse 1, Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So he made that statue for himself. If you read verse 3 of that same chapter, Daniel chapter 3, verse 3 says, then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So you can see that the image or the statue, and we saw that it was made with pure gold, a very tall, huge statue made with gold. All of the statue were made with pure gold. Yeah, and Nebuchadnezzar set it up for himself, or maybe I should say to glorify himself. Yeah. So it was also a display of his wealth. So he wanted to show all the nations in Babylon and all the nations surrounding that empire. He wanted to show them that he is a great king, and that he has great wealth, great riches. So, and he wanted to dedicate that image, more like he wanted to launch his own god or his own idol, and he wanted everyone to bow to that image. So he's more like he was more like making himself a god in the land that everyone will worship. Even though there were already a lot of gods in the land that the people were worshiping, but he was going to add his own god or his own idol, and he was going to make himself a god in the land. So he commanded everyone to bow before that image. Everyone in the entire land, they were to gather together and worship that image. But these three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were also part of the leaders in the land. They were occupying certain political offices or government positions. So they had no choice than to be present in that ceremony. They had no choice than to be present in that festival. And it is expected of them, as one of the, as part of the leaders in the Babylonian government, it is expected of them to also bow worship the image. But these three men, these three Hebrews, they refused to compromise with idolatry. Yeah, they refused to compromise their faith. They refused. So they told the king, they said, we are not afraid to die, though our God is able to deliver us from your penalty, because there was a penalty. For whoever refuses to bow to the image, the penalty was that such person will be thrown into a very, very hot furnace. Yeah, more like being thrown into hell alive. Yeah, a very hot furnace. Yeah, the Bible calls it a fiery or burning fiery furnace. Yeah, so that was the penalty. And everyone got the announcement of the dedication of the idol, and everyone also got the announcement of the penalty that will happen to whoever refuses to bow to the idol, whoever refuses to worship the image. So these three men, they confronted the king and they said, we know the penalty, or we know the punishment, and we will still not bow to your image, though our God is able to deliver us from this punishment. But if our God decide not to deliver us, we will still not bow to your image. So the king got angry, and then he told those who set up the burning fiery furnace, he told them to increase, to multiply the heat in that furnace by 7 times. Yeah, many of you are familiar with the story, but I just decided to remind you again, since the story is very much related to our topic. Yeah, so they heated that furnace 7 times. In fact, the Bible told us that the men who carried the giant men, or the mighty men, or mighty soldiers who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to throw them into the furnace, they died while doing that because the heat was too much. Let me read that place for you. In verse 22, Daniel chapter 3, verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So you can see, the fire was so hot that even the people who tied them together to throw them into the fire, they died in the process of doing that. Yeah. But many of you know what happened thereafter. I don't need to be reading what happened. You know that Jesus rescued them. God stepped into the fire. And the three men, they didn't die. They survived. In fact, even their clothes wasn't burnt. Yeah, only the ropes they used to tie them got burnt. Their clothes wasn't burnt. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to see that in verse 27. Yeah. None of their bodies were touched, not even the hair on their heads got burnt. Yeah, their clothes, the clothes they wear, the clothes they wore didn't got burnt. Yeah, even the smell of the fire wasn't on them. Yeah, it was as though they were never thrown into the fire. That was what happened. So God stepped into the fire and rescued them. Hallelujah. Yeah, that is how powerful God is when it comes to delivering us from the wickedness of the wicked. God is very powerful to deliver us from the wickedness of the wicked, especially when we stand on His word and we do not compromise with sin. It is certain that our God will show up to deliver us. Yeah, and I have said it earlier that usually when it is not your time to die, God will show up to deliver you from the hands of your enemies. God would show up to deliver you from untimely death. Yeah, because He's the one that determines when you should leave this earth. And He knows how to keep His own people safe. He knows how to do it. Especially those who trust in Him, those who fear Him, those who trust in Him, and those who will stand on His word, those who will obey His word, even if the whole world are disobeying Him. Yeah, so the story of this man is a good example of how persecutors attack God's people because we will not compromise our faith. Yeah, because we will not surrender to praise the Lord. as I was saying, I said the story of these men, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is a good example of how unbelievers and Satan worshippers and the people of this world would persecute God's people because we refuse to surrender to idolatry and to worldliness. Yeah, it's a very good example. The government of the world can suddenly come up with a law or a policy that is against your faith, that is against our faith as Christians. If such law comes up, we must not surrender to such laws or policies or constitution or whatever they call it. Anything that they are trying to enforce on you that is not in agreement with the Word of God, you must deny. You must reject. You must refuse. Yeah, just as these three men did in Daniel chapter 3. You must not surrender. Even if they tell you that the penalty or the punishment for whoever refuses to do this is death or is imprisonment or whatever they call the punishment, you still must not surrender. You must not surrender to the policy or to the laws. Yeah, this is very, very crucial. You must make up your mind now, because we are in the last days, and you can't tell what the government of your country will tell you to do. You can't tell. They may suddenly bring up a policy or a law. They may suddenly do that. Especially such laws that comes with force. You know, there are some laws that the people get to decide if they want to follow or not. Or some policies that is based on the choice of people. So you have the right, you have the right to say yes, and you have the right to say no to such policies or laws. Yeah, but a time will come where they will pass laws or policies that will be enforced against human rights, against whatever you call human rights. Yeah, they will force everyone to do what is clearly known as sin. I don't know if you're getting my point. So the time is coming where the government of nations will enforce laws that is very obvious to be against God. Laws that is clearly clearly and obviously known to be against God and to be against God's word. So even they will know that these laws is against the Bible and against the word of God. Even the people in the government, they would know that, and yet they would still enforce it on the people. And whoever refuses to follow such laws would be arrested and imprisoned and maybe killed. Yeah, so the purpose of this teaching is for you to prepare your mind for such time. Yeah, because that time will come. I may not know when, but that time will come, definitely. Yeah. So let us be ready to oppose any form of laws that is telling us to do what is against the will of God. Any form of laws that is telling you to do what is contrary to the word of God, you must not obey, even if the penalty for disobeying or for refusing is death. You must not obey. Your God is able to deliver you, and even if your God will not deliver you from the punishment, you still must not obey. Yeah, so there's a limit to which we can follow the government policies and rules. Yeah, whenever those rules are against the word of God, we cannot follow the rules at that point. Once whatever they are telling us to do is against the scriptures, we must not do it. I pray that the Lord will help you and give you the boldness and the fearlessness and the courage to stand for the truth and to reject any demonic or satanic laws and policies that is telling you to worship Satan in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us look at another scripture. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. Open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said this man, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You can see that these envious people who hated Daniel, those men were his colleagues, because Daniel was in the politics. He was one of the leaders in the land of Babylon. And yeah, the book of Daniel teaches us a lot of things. And one of the things it teaches us is the fact that Christians can be in politics and still serve God and still do the will of God. Christians can be in leadership, in governmental leadership. Yeah. Christians can be leaders in government positions. In fact, Christians can be kings and queens and yet do the will of God. So we can see that in the book of Daniel. Yeah, so if you have opportunity to be in politics and to be installed into a government position or to be given a place in government leadership, you should take it. You should take the opportunity, in as much as you will tell them that, I mean, in as much as the people in the government will let you do your work according to the will of God. So you will tell them before accepting the political offer, or the offer to take a political position, you will tell them that I'm a Christian and these are my principles. This is what I stand for. And this is what I believe. This is what I live for. So if I would not be able to do as God would want me to do in that position, then I'm not interested. But if I will be able to please God and stand as a righteous person and practice righteousness, then I am interested. I mean, if they will allow you, or if the position they are telling you to come and occupy will allow you to serve God, to please God, to do the will of God, then there's nothing wrong with accepting such positions. I believe you get my point. Yeah, so once you make yourself clean, then you can accept the offer. Yeah. So we can see that God's people, I mean, we can see it from the book of Daniel, that God's people can do politics and still please God. Unlike what we have today, some people, they call themselves Christians, and then once they enter into political positions or governmental positions, they compromise. Yeah, they compromise their faith immediately. Yeah, and these people, they call themselves Christians. Yeah, without thinking twice, because of money, they compromise their faith immediately. That is wrong. That is a shame to the name of the Lord. And that is a shame to the name of Jesus. Yeah. So I do not regard such people as Christians, because if you cannot stand for Jesus in the governmental position you were elected to occupy, if you cannot stand for Jesus in that place, then you are a disgrace. You are a disgrace to the kingdom of God. Yeah. Because we have examples in the Bible. Examples of men like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who were into politics. They were government officials, and yet they refused to compromise their faith. They refused to participate in bribery or in corruption or in occultism or satanism or idol worship. They refused to participate in any form of darkness. Yeah, so if we can have men like that in the Bible days, we can also have people like that today. Yeah. So that is just by the way. Yeah. So I just want you to know that your life here on earth is all about your choice. It's all about how you have chosen to live your life. Yeah. It is not about giving excuses. It's about your choice. Yeah. I pray that you will make the right choice. In Jesus' name, I pray that you will choose to live your life for Jesus and for God's kingdom. In Jesus' name. If you are looking for excuses to sin against God, you will always have excuses. Yeah. But if you make up your mind to live for God, you will receive grace from God to live for God. That is it. Yeah, God Himself will give you grace to live for Him if you have made up your mind to live for Him. Yeah, because the people in politics that call themselves Christians, they give excuses like, I found myself among satanist worldly people, unbelievers, and I have to be wise. I have to just go along with the evils they are doing, because if I don't, they may kill me, or they may destroy my family, or kill my family members, or they may get me out of the position, or they may do something to spoil my name and then get me imprisoned or whatever. So all those are just rubbish excuses. Yeah, if they really want to live for God, they would live for God. So that there's no excuse for sin. There is no reasonable excuse for sin. There is no reasonable excuse for disobeying God's word. Yeah, we must make up our minds to please God. Yeah. And we must be ready for whatever unbelievers want to do to us if we refuse to surrender to their laws or policies or whatever they are forcing us to do that is contrary to the will of God. Yeah, so let us let us look at that chapter again, Daniel chapter 6. In verse 5, Daniel chapter 6, verse 5, then said this man, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against his, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Yeah, they were looking for something they can use to implicate him, to perhaps get him imprisoned or get him lose his governmental position. Yeah, because they were so envious of him, so they wanted to bring him down. They wanted to bring him down from the level God has placed him. So they were looking for some forms that they can use to report him and implicate him. But they couldn't find any forms because he was blameless. So even though he was in the government position, he was doing everything perfectly. He was not stealing government money. He was not misusing the power the power attached to his governmental position. Yeah, he was just blameless and perfect. And that was why they couldn't find any fault against him. But then they concluded that the only way we can find fault against this Daniel is by doing something that will make him, or let me put it this way, is by doing something that will force him to deny his God. because they know that he will not deny the law of his God. So they want to create something that would force him to deny the law of his God. Because they know that he would not deny the law of his God. So, and they'll be able to find fault because they know he would not deny the law of his God. And that was what they did eventually. Yeah. They came up with one decree, one law. And then they came up with a penalty. And we thank God that Daniel refused to deny God. And when he was thrown into the lion's den, God shut the mouth of the lions. Yeah, many of you know the end of this story. Eventually, it was these men that conspired together against him that were thrown into the lion's den together with all their family members. Yeah, so my point is that persecutors will always persecute you because they know that you will not deny your faith in God. And they will bring up attacks and troubles. There are very strong, so that you can break. Yeah, so that your determination can be broken. Yeah, that's what I mean by you breaking. So they want your determination to follow God, to trust God, to believe God, and to hold on to God forever. They want that determination to be broken. And they are ready to do everything in their power to make sure you deny God, you deny Jesus, and you deny your faith. Yeah. Because they are not just happy that you are keeping your faith in God. They are not just happy about it. Yeah. And in fact, in the kingdom of darkness, they promote their agents based on how much Christians they were able to destroy, or they were able to made to fall. Yeah, I don't know if you get me. Yeah, because Satan would give those agents, he would give his agents commands and instructions to go and make Christians fall from their faith. Yeah, he would give them instructions to go and make Christians compromise their faith. Yeah. So the more the number of Christians, the higher the number of Christians that those agents were able to bring down from their faith, the more the promotion they get. in the dark kingdom. So if they can succeed in making you to compromise your faith, they get promotion in their kingdom. Yeah. And if they can also make you to sin and eventually kill you. Yeah, because once a Christian commits sin, such Christians will be disconnected from God's presence and from God's protection. So if the agents of Satan can succeed in making you to sin, they can also kill you. Yeah, they can take your life untimely. Yeah, so Satan gives them promotion based on how much Christians they were able to bring down from their faith into sin and into darkness, and also based on how many Christians they were able to kill and destroy. Yeah, so they get promoted. And I'm saying this to let you know that Satan has a lot to gain when you lose your faith and when you compromise with sin and worldliness and unrighteousness. Satan has so much to gain. Yeah. In fact, every time you choose the dark side, you are actually helping Satan win. I believe you understand me. Every time you choose darkness, every time you choose to walk in the flesh, every time you choose to be worldly, every time you choose to sin and to disobey God, every time you choose to be carnal, you are actually helping Satan to win. Yeah, because that is what he's doing. That is his business. Yeah, to get as many people on his side. Yeah. And the moment you choose the dark side, you make yourself an enemy of God. Yeah, so that is what Satan is doing on earth. Yeah, so you must make up your mind to choose light. You must make up your mind to choose righteousness. So there is no middle ground. It is either you are in the light or you are in the darkness. Yeah. So you can't put one leg in the darkness and one leg in the light. Yeah, there's nothing like that. If you are doing that, you are just deceiving yourself. Yeah, because that alone puts you in a very terrible situation. Yeah. And God hates people like that. In fact, God would prefer that you choose darkness and stay there than that you are putting one leg in the light and one leg in the darkness, that you are appearing to be on his side, and yet you're also tending towards the side of the enemy. God hates people like that. So if you want to be light, be light. And if you want to be darkness, be darkness. Yeah. So let us choose who we really want to serve. And I pray for you that you will serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Let us look at another point, and the one we just finished talking on is for refusing to compromise faith. Persecutors attack Christians for refusing to compromise faith because the Christians refuses to compromise their faith. Yeah. And then another point that I want to look at now is for refusing to worship the Antichrist. For refusing to worship the Antichrist and his image. Let us look at Revelation, the book of Revelation 13, verse 14 to 17. Revelation 13. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by his sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Praise the Lord. So you can see in this place that the Antichrist is also going to persecute Christians. The Antichrist will also persecute Christians, especially for not for not worshiping him and his image. Yeah, I know some of you may think that we have not yet come to the time of the Antichrist. Yeah, but you should know that the Antichrist is already here. Yeah, even though God might not have given him the full control over the world yet, but he's already here and he's already operating. Yeah. And the reason why he has not really gotten the full control over the world is because the Holy Spirit is still on earth. That is why the Antichrist has not yet gotten his full control. Yeah, because Jesus is still here and the Holy Ghost is still here. Now you may think Jesus had died and had gone to heaven, but Jesus is still here. Yeah, don't forget what he said in Matthew chapter 28. Let me read that place for you. Jesus is actually still here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. This is Jesus talking. Matthew 28, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You can see that. Jesus said he is with us. Yeah. Till the end of this world, that is with us. What that means is that Jesus went up to heaven to come again in the form of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, of course, he's not the Holy Spirit, but he's inside the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he's touching our lives through the Holy Spirit. So more like the Holy Spirit is the vehicle that is taking Jesus around everywhere in the world. Yeah, so Jesus is still here in the Holy Spirit. He's inside the Holy Spirit, touching our lives, saving our lives, helping our lives, changing our lives, blessing us, forgiving our sins. Yeah, so Jesus is still with us. Yeah, even in that way he went up to heaven, he's actually still with us, but he's with us in the Holy Spirit. So he is touching us through the Holy Spirit, helping us through the Holy Spirit, ministering to us through the Holy Spirit. So because Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they are still here, that is why the Antichrist doesn't have the full power yet. But he will still have the full power. Yeah, so for him to have the full power, Jesus and the Holy Ghost, they will have to leave this earth. Yeah, so when they leave, it also means Christians have left at the same time. So when they leave, then the Antichrist will have the full power over the world. Yeah. But mind you, the Antichrist is already here and is already succeeding in his operations. Yeah, the Antichrist is in the church, is in many churches, and he's already succeeding. He's in the government systems. He's in the educational system, financial system. In fact, you can name any system in the world right now. The Antichrist is there. Even inside the church, he's there. Yeah, so he's already... he has already positioned himself in many places, and he's already succeeding in many places. Though the mark is not yet here. Though the mark is here also, but he's not yet here. I'm not confusing you. The mark of the beast is here, but not yet here. And I'm going to explain. Yeah, let's say the mark is here in a spiritual form. And not yet here in the physical form. Now, I know some people, they will write 666 on their body. That's not the mark. And I know about what they call microchip implant. Yeah. And I know some people have received some implants in their right hand. But that is not yet the mark of the beast, though the mark of the beast will come like that. But that's not the original one. The original one is not yet here, but is already here in a spiritual form. Yeah, so whoever is doing those ones, they're just preparing the ground for the original. The original is not yet here. So even if you go and buy a microchip and then you tell them to put in your right hand on your forehead, even if you do that now, that doesn't mean you have received the mark. It could only mean that you are preparing yourself for the original, because the original is still coming. Yeah. So everything, all the things that is happening, especially the invention of the microchip and every other technology involved, is just a way of preparing for the original. The original has not yet come. Yeah, but it is already here spiritually. Yeah, and the reason why it has not yet become real, or it has not yet become physical, is because Jesus and the Holy Ghost are still here on earth. Yeah. But that doesn't mean the Antichrist is not going to persecute us. Yeah. But it will not be like when Jesus have left and the Holy Ghost have left the earth, which is also when the rapture will happen. Yeah. So once the rapture happens, it means the Holy Ghost have left the earth and Jesus have also left the earth. Yeah. Then the kind of persecution that will now come at that time, well, I won't even call that persecution. Yeah, because whoever is left that still call themselves a Christian, I believe they were no Christian. Because if they were real Christian, they would make it during the rapture. Yeah. I don't know how you read the book of Revelation, but I want you to know that after rapture, whoever is left is not a Christian. And there's no way they will survive the persecution and the tribulation. There's no way they will survive. Yeah. When the Bible was referring to Christians that survived the tribulation in the book of Revelation, the Bible was talking about a tribulation that happened before rapture. Yeah, so there will still be tribulation before rapture, but because Jesus and the Holy Ghost are still here, we will be able to survive that. And those that will die at that time, they will definitely make it to heaven. Yeah, but after the rapture, and I believe you know what rapture means. It means Jesus appeared in the sky, and all the Christians, they start, and all the Christians that are in the truth, start to disappear to meet with Jesus in the sky. Yeah, that is rapture. Now, once that rapture happens, any person that still call themselves Christians that are left on earth, they can't survive the reign of the Antichrist. What I mean by they can't survive is that they can't keep their faith. Yeah, they can't. They can't. I'm not going to go into details, but just know that they can't, because they would not even be human beings again. If God can open your eyes to see what is going to happen to people that don't make the rapture, you will not want to miss the rapture, because the people that will be left, they will not even be like human beings again. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, they won't be like humans again. Do you want to know what the mark of the beast really is? The mark of the beast is something that will change humans into another creature that is no longer human. That is no longer human. So it's not just about a microchip implanted into your hand. It's not just about tattooing yourself and then you write 666. That's not how the mark of the beast really is. It's all about changing humans into demonic creatures. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but this is what is going to happen. Yeah, but of course, I want to be here when all that is happening. Yeah, because I don't plan to miss the rapture whenever the rapture comes. Yeah, my point is that don't think, oh, if I miss the rapture, I would struggle hard to not collect the mark of the beast, and then I will, I would try to make heaven. There's nothing like that. If you miss the rapture, you have missed it. That doesn't. Yeah, it means you can't make heaven again. Because the mark of the beast really is about, maybe I should use the word transhumanism. You can go and research transhumanism. That is changing humans into something different from human. That's actually what the mark of the beast is about. Yeah, so it is after people after those people who will not make the rapture, after they would have been transformed into a creature that is no longer human, that is when they will now be given the physical mark to buy things, to buy and sell. Yeah. So, but this process of changing humans into something else would have been ongoing before the rapture. But Christians would resist, and of course Christians will be persecuted. So it is within that time that the rapture will happen. So the rapture would be a way of Jesus saving Christians from whatever the Antichrist wants to do to them, to change them from becoming human into another creature. And you know that Jesus can only save a human. Jesus came to die for humans. Yeah, So, and if you have changed to something else that is not human, it means you're no longer a candidate for salvation. Because if you don't have a human soul anymore, then you have nothing that Jesus can save. You have nothing in you that Jesus can save. Yeah, so the rapture would happen at that point when that is the only way Jesus can save Christians from being changed into something else by the beast. Yeah, so don't tell me that whoever doesn't make the rapture will still survive. And we still keep their faith. And we still make heaven. I know a lot of preachers have tried to interpret the book of Revelation in so many ways. Yeah, and I used to believe those interpretations. But now, Jesus has opened my eyes. And I can tell you that no one is making heaven after the rapture. Yeah. Because that is the last hope for mankind, the rapture. So whoever is left on earth, they are gone. So I pray that you will not miss the rapture. And that is if the rapture happens in your lifetime, before you die. I pray you will not miss the rapture. In Jesus' name. Yeah, let us also look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones. And they that sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of men that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Yeah, so you can see that the Antichrist would try to make Christians receive that mark. Yeah. But Christians, the real Christians will refuse. Yeah, they will refuse. They will refuse to receive the mark. And because of that, they will be beheaded. They will be killed. Yeah, and that time is coming. Yeah, and that time, as I said earlier, is going to be close to when the rapture will happen. Yeah. The people of God would resist the Antichrist and they would refuse to take the mark. And because of that, they would be beheaded. Yeah, but God will reward them. He will put them on thrones and God will set them over nations. Yeah, God will promote them and he will give them thrones and make them rule over nations during the 1,000 reign of Jesus, because Jesus will still come back after the rapture and after the judgment of God have come upon the Antichrist and the beast. The Antichrist, also the beast, there is the Antichrist, then there is the false prophet, and then there is Satan, the dragon. Yeah. So after the judgment of God would have come upon them and upon those that took the mark and worshipped the image of the beast. Yeah, after God's judgment would have come upon them, there will be a reign of 1,000 years. Yeah, Jesus would come back to the earth again, together with the saints that were raptured, and Jesus will come and reign on earth for 1,000 years. And those people who refused to worship the beast and to take his mark, they would be promoted, and they would be given thrones, and they will also reign together with Jesus. Yeah, so usually when we refuse to worship Satan, and in the process we got healed, there is a reward in heaven. Yeah. So whether it's about the mark of the beast or is about any other thing that pertains to Jesus and the gospel and God's kingdom, if you were if for instance you were persecuted and killed in the process because you refuse to serve Satan or to compromise your faith, there is always a great reward that waits for you in heaven. So I pray for you that you will be willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus, and even to endure persecution to the point of death, so that you can receive the reward that God has prepared for people in that category. In Jesus' name. So, we're going to stop here. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you're so faithful. Thank you for everything you have taught us tonight. Thank you for all that you have revealed to us through your word. I ask, O Lord, that you give everyone here the grace to stand firm in the truth, even in the face of very deadly persecution. In Jesus' name, I ask, O Lord, that you help every one of us to refuse the mark of the beast if it would come in our lifetime. Help us to refuse that mark and to refuse the control of the Antichrist. In Jesus' name, help us to be prepared for the rapture if it will happen in our lifetime. In Jesus' name, help us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.